Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 125.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Caro, the number one Shopify app for influencer marketing. Caro is a Shopify app that discovers all the influencers who are your brand's customers, email subscribers, and fans. Now imagine an influencer with a million followers was to make a purchase from your Shopify store. Would you know about it? Caro makes sure that you do. And unlike other influencer platforms, Caro is built for trust and transparency. And they help you find influencers that are genuinely interested in your brand so that you're not scrolling through countless social accounts just to find the right partners. Let Caro do the heavy lifting and find influencers that are best for your brand. And Caro also helps you execute your influencer marketing every step of the way. They make communication and product distribution easy so you can pick the right influencers and create meaningful partnerships. And right now, Caro is free for all Shopify stores. So why not try it out and see who you find? Now, after you install the app, Caro will alert you whenever a new influencer engages with your brand so that you can communicate and continue to build your list of influencers over time. To get started, you can visit getcaro.com or you can search for Caro in the Shopify App Store. That's C-A-R-R-O and discover which influencers already love your brand. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Maris Vaide, who is the founder and CEO of Accelify. And they're developers of the Accelify app that really, it helps Shopify stores basically manage their data. You know, they've got hundreds of five-star reviews in the Shopify app store, and it's very clear that, you know, many Shopify store owners, they are getting tremendous value out of this app. And my goal in today's podcast really is to, I guess, cast a wider net to those who have not heard of Accelify. And, you know, it's nice to hear directly from the founder of exactly how you can get value from this app too. So let's welcome Maris to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for such a warm welcome. I'm really glad to be here talking with you.
So I mentioned a tiny bit at the top here. I mean, Accelify is, you know, widely adopted by many Shopify core customers, many Shopify Plus. I mean, some of the largest brands. Like, I mean, I just even found out lately that Staples in Canada, which is a massive retailer, made the choice to use Accelify. So it's very interesting why brands choose, I guess, their tech stack or certain apps to help them with some efficiencies. And in your case, it's, you know, maybe getting people away from Excel sheets and importing and exporting and getting the data that they need in the order they need it and when they need it. And so you do some really interesting things. So I'd love to hear about the problems, more on a high level first, I guess, the problems that Accelify is solving for Shopify store owners or brands.
Yeah, so on high level, the Accelify app allows merchants to import, export, update, and migrate their data in the Shopify stores. And so that data is exchanged as Excel or CSV files or Google Sheets or like different other platform formats or through the integrations into the third-party system APIs. There's a very long list of or range of problems that we solve for merchants. Like, for example, when they are setting up their store, They need to get in their data from somewhere. And usually if you have a store, you already have some data lying around in your spreadsheets or somewhere. Or if you had an earlier store on some other platform, then we are helping basically to migrate all your data from that other platform to Shopify. And of course, we help updating the data in bulk on a regular basis. Like, for example, you need to update like prices, or you need to periodically load data from your suppliers, which also have different files usually. Also different automations like exchanging files via FTP or with ERP systems. Reporting, of course, using for backups to make like a daily snapshots of your store data, or copy data from one store to another, or basically, yeah, you can even send out to external channels like Google Shopping or UPS Allship. Each of those topics and aspects is a very deep thing or a very deep topic, and like we could talk about them for years if we had such time.
You know, what's interesting is that, yeah, there are a lot of use cases for a lot of different people. And I think that's, I guess, the power of your platform. It can be used as a one-off solution, get access for a month, do a job, finish the job, move on. But I also find, you know, a lot of the brands that I manage, they actually use and pay monthly because they like maybe a reporting option, and they're able to export things that they need. Maybe some native reporting in Shopify is not available in the admin, but it's important for them in their analysis of that data. And you're very open to helping brands extract that data, which maybe Shopify doesn't have native extraction abilities in the format that people need. You help people organize the columns and then a frequency. And I think that's really powerful. I think that's the benefits of your solution. Just even from my vantage point, when I have a merchant that's saying, hey, I wish that I had this report, or I wish that I could do something here. A lot of times it's even inventory, for example, of a drop shipper, and having access to that file and then being able to import it into your Shopify store so things are syncing. There's so many like amazing use cases, and hopefully through this podcast today, we'll be able to share with the listeners about some of the things that you can do, and that might open their minds about some automation or some efficiencies that could be gained by having access to Excelify.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So usually people, when starting to use Excelify, they say, okay, I will just use it for this one migration and that's it, and then I will uninstall it. But when they get a hold of it, and then when they see all the kinds of things they can do with it, they just stick with the app and continue using it throughout their life. Yeah, I look at Excelify as a way for merchants to touch their data, basically.
So let's talk about your journeys. I think it's always nice to set the stage a bit for those listening today about why you built what you built. Because I think it's such an interesting concept to me, like why people build SaaS products. You're obviously solving some unique problems that maybe Shopify directly is not solving. Saw that need. I just would love to understand like how you believe you're positioning yourself, like I guess to have the desire and then the expertise to even want to build this platform.
If I start from the very beginning, like I was born in Valmiera, which is a small city in Latvia. And Latvia is a small country, like 1.5 million people in Eastern Europe. I have started programming at school in seventh grade. This was in year 94. Throughout the school, I basically lived in informatics classroom. Literally every break, almost every night I stayed at school and like wrote different programs and basically loved programming. And I had quite a progressive informatics teacher. She basically gave me keys to the classroom and basically let me take care of all the computers and do whatever I want. In 10th grade, I started to work in a local bank branch while studying at school. The bank's branch CTO asked the same my informatics teacher if she knew anybody to suggest an employee. My teacher suggested me. He didn't have exactly a pupil in mind, but he decided to give it a shot. And so, yeah, every day I came after school to do programming and running the bank day change processes at night. Those were the days where automation was very low. So doing these things required a lot of concentration. And I had a few incidents that still gives me shivers when remembering, like it's a bank and I was 16. fast forward 20 years and I had worked in different banks and fintech companies as a CTO, CIO, and in parallel got a master's degree in IT from the University of Latvia. While working at those C-level positions, I got praised for what I do, but like deeply inside, I felt kind of empty. I was longing to develop software myself, basically, not to manage huge teams and participate in long meetings and like corporate stuff. So I still did programming whenever I found some time for that. Yeah, so basically what I, like while working there at those companies and corporations, I like had still this feeling that most of those businesses did. I wasn't feeling that we are adding a real value to people's lives. Maybe like sounds cliche or so, but that's an internal feeling. Like according to my perspective, I had a feeling that I want to feel that I'm actually adding some great value. And so in 2015, me and my wife, who is also working in IT, so we just basically both at the same time, we quit our great jobs. And I said to myself, I will not return to a paid job anymore, but we will build something of real value for people, something that I will feel as a real value. Throughout my life, I was doing a lot, like quite a few experiments already. So I was always having this like a drive to create something. But now it just took full time to just work on that. And basically, I thought I would just keep going until I will make it work. So we started doing different experiments and many failures and so on, like the usual thing, right?
Yeah.
And one of times when I was like already started to feel some pressure for money because we're like already 2 years in and without any real project that we would pursue further, like that would prove as a good thing. In parallel, I was helping a friend to set up their Shopify store. So we had to import many files of data and do the exports and bulk updates and things like that, and loading supplier files. And then I remembered that also some years ago, among the experiments, we're trying to set up the dropshipping in Shopify. And that also had the same problem, basically, that was very cumbersome to load those files from dropshippers. And then I thought, okay, I can definitely make this much better than it is now. Yeah, so this was like some tense experiment. And then I realized it's a perfect combination of what I love doing. It's programming, it's spreadsheets, and it's the data.
No, it's a dream come true to certain, you know, when I think about it, because it's like you always talk about, you know, hey, someone had overnight success or why is your app doing so well? And but they don't realize the amount of work effort that has gone into a lifetime worth of work has gone into building up your experience and understanding the problems that you're trying to solve and then just nonstop iterating on your product. And I just doubling down and focusing almost now, almost exclusively in the Shopify ecosystem, I think is quite interesting to me.
Basically, it is about sticking to something and continuing to do it while you succeed. And I'm very lucky in this process with my wife, who supports me in everything I do. So she never complained that I like work too much or that we might run out of money or something. She just trusted me and came with me all the way. And also now she helps with Excelify as much as she can between taking care of kids and home. And yeah, looking back, it's been really a long search.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed too was the fact that I believe your son is even part of the team now too. So it's so interesting. It really is a family affair.
It is, yes. Basically, we started as purely just our family, me, my wife, and my son. Son was helping with, and is still helping with the graphics and multimedia. When basically we had enough revenue that we can start paying somebody salary, then we were open to look for some additional people to help.
Yeah, it's nice to have a team. I think that's the thing. It's just over time, you kind of bootstrap it right from the beginning, iterating and focusing on it. And then now here we are today. So let's talk about the app itself physically, because I think some people might be under some misconceptions about why can I just not, from within the Shopify admin, just manually make some choices of importing and exporting? Why do I have to use a third-party solution like Excelify? Like, I understand, like, from my perspective, because I'm knee-deep into commerce, so I understand the nuances of what data is available, like first-party inside Shopify. I understand the challenges of maybe other platforms, the format of their data, and other fields that may not exist on one that exist on another. And it's just, it's quite a cluster, not to mention the reporting things for financials and lots of different things. So let's talk about why you believe merchants choose Excelify to manage their data today.
I believe they start by using default admin import and export capabilities. And this is okay to start with admin, basically. It's a good thing that they start with by using admin CSV import and export capabilities, because you can do quite much actually with it without any additional apps. But of course, there is some limitations. Like, for example, the first thing that I was aiming to solve is that when you import something in the Shopify admin, you just upload the file and it goes somewhere in a black hole and you don't know what's happening with it until you get an email back from Shopify that says that it's completed. Excelify, you can control each and every bit. You can see how many items is already imported and how long it will take, and you can cancel it at any time. You can basically change your mind, and you can gain control over this import or export process itself. That's like a one dimension of Excelify, that it gives you really the control while the things are happening. The next dimension is the sorts of fields and the kind of data that you can work with. And again, Shopify import and export has their own templates, and they have quite a lot of data fields and specific structure, but it's not giving access to all the data that's in the Shopify admin. Basically, the Shopify database, it's a huge database, and we are creating our own templates in such a structure that they can be human readable, like even if there are many, many, many fields. Like, for example, orders is the most complicated template file. If you ever tried exporting orders from the Shopify admin, it gives you basic information and it might be fine for specific cases. But if you need all the attributes that you see on the screen in the admin, you can't get them out normally. With Excelify, you can. It's a weird template, but once you understand it, it makes sense.
Let's talk about, how often and how much you actually, update or improve your app's functionality. I'm not sure if there's a public roadmap or if you're getting feedback from customers, but I would love to understand that part, because I think a lot of times certain apps solve certain problems today for merchants. We talk already the one-off and or recurring, because it's something that needs to happen consistently with data, and especially for it being set up to be recurring. These sorts of things are just not built into Shopify. If you want to do it, you have to send yourself a note or have a calendar notification to remind yourself to go and do this manual process where, you have that kind of functionality built into it. So I would just love to understand, the mindset around, hey, here we are today solving all of these great problems. And it's hard on the whole podcast to talk about all of them. I mean, there'll be a lot of links in the show notes and things like that. But I just love to understand how you prioritize and consider other advancements to the application for the better of the Shopify entrepreneurial world.
Yeah, so basically there is one large misconception about software development, is that some people sometimes think that you can sit for a while, you create the software, and then you launch it, and then it's done. It's just the opposite. The software is never done, and so especially Excelify, basically we are continuously developing Excelify every day and on weekends, and by 15 hours a day still running. We change it every day, and we have 2-3 releases per day on average for new kind of features or improvements. We are a team of 3 developers. We all have plates very full of things to do.
So how do you prioritize? I mean, I just think it would be interesting to me about, you have a small team, talented team, with kind of you at the helm starting it all, but I just curious to understand you're saying it's never done and you're always working on it, but how do you know what to work on next?
Our priorities is like this. That at first, we fix any defect that was reported by merchant, where merchant is like waiting for solution. And sometimes it can even be that while we are chatting about some kind of issue, we can release a fix, and some minutes later we can say, okay, try now, and it's fixed, it's working, for example. These kinds of fixes, it's always like a first top priority for whatever we do. When we manage to catch this quick way to solve an actual issue for a merchant, they are blown away for how focused we are on helping them on that specific instance. And then the second priority comes the customer needs. We have actually a spreadsheet, because we are spreadsheet people, right? We have spreadsheets for everything, and even for customer needs. So we collect everything that somebody asks. If we can't, for example, achieve something at the moment, we record everything in one large spreadsheet with categories and different kind of attributes to be able to prioritize it later. Mm-hmm. And then basically we assign points depending on that particular subscription plan for this customer. So the higher the plan, the more the points. And of course, we are giving for agencies even higher weight, because mm-hmm. usually agencies use Excelify for many stores. And then basically, mathematically, whatever feature is on the top, that one gets developed next. And this is about customer needs. And of course, we blend it together with our own ideas and vision how Excelify needs to evolve and serve most of merchant requirements for managing their store data now and in the future. As a small category, we have also some capabilities to do a custom development. So that if, for example, a merchant comes to us and says that they urgently need some feature that we already have it in our customer needs file, but if they say that, okay, I need this yesterday, and then we can offer, okay, we can assign it a top first priority, but it will cost some money, and we usually give it a quote, some fixed price for getting this feature done right now on this, as a very next thing that gets delivered.
And then a question about that. So if in the rare case that there is a feature that's not available and a merchant's willing to pay for that, does that just enhance the product for everybody? So they get it, but then everybody gets it.
That's usually a very clear mutual agreement that payment is just for having it like a top number one priority, but the feature will be available for everybody. And like they don't pay for the whole time we put into this. Usually it's like a more or less symbolic thing to basically reserve our time and effort to really make this happen. But it usually doesn't cover our expenses anyway.
But you also get the long-term value out of the fact, small amount of money to escalate to the top of the list for this enhancement, but then everybody gets that enhancement, and then that could be valuable to the next new customer for you. So I totally get what you're doing.
And it's basically a way to prove that the merchant actually seriously needs it and that they don't have any other alternatives. Yeah. Because when they see the price, they can figure out, okay, I have something to weigh against, right? And I can maybe do it manually, or I can have somebody on my end fix something that they don't need this feature. But if they seriously need it, then it will be anyway worth it.
And then also you must keep on top of the Shopify kind of partner ecosystem, because there's obviously Shopify's got their foot on the gas as far as projects and platform updates. And because of that, do you feel that you have the right resources and the right community around the education component of what is Shopify working on right now? How does that impact what I'm working on with my product? And then are there synergies between what Shopify is working on and then the problems that you're solving with your solution?
Yes, of course. We are continuously monitoring all the new API changes that Shopify makes, and all the, like, basically everything that Shopify changes, we get note of that and align our roadmap or Excelify plans to be friends with all that stream of changes that Shopify is making.
And I see a lot too on my end. I mean, I'm merchant facing also. And, you know, some of the product changes, maybe I don't necessarily see directly because they're just kind of things that are going on in the background. API changes don't really affect my day-to-day from a marketing strategy perspective. But yeah, there's lots of things that are being updated all the time and features and enhancements to certain things, all based on merchant frustration and some feedback and then an escalation process. More people ask for it. All of a sudden, product roadmap changes. And so I think that's really fantastic. That's what Excelify does also.
And we treat it the same way, like the most importantly, try to eliminate any frustrations that the merchants might have.
How do you manage, this is probably a loaded question, but like how do you manage or ensure the quality of your app with, you're saying like two or three changes a day sometimes, different people touching the pie, the core code base and stuff like that. You know, obviously GitHub is, you know, and versioning comes to mind, but I'm just was curious overall, like your mindset and then what's the tactical things about how do you feel confident of the changes and this QA, this quality assurance that goes along with your product?
Yeah, robots test our app all the time. It's a joke, but it's actually not a joke because we really do automated testing for our whole app. We can always be sure that whenever we release some change, it was tested and we didn't even have to touch it manually to test something because everything is automated on our side. Still, it's a rarity. Basically, all software engineers know and agree that automated tests are a good thing and important part of the code. But still, I see many projects still don't have automated tests these days, and typical answer is that we can add tests anytime later if we need them. In such a large project as Excelify, if you don't have tests, you are doomed, basically. Right. And even in small project, if you don't have tests, you will end up with a garbage code very quickly, and it will be hard to manage, and it will become a chaos. And the only way to basically control the quality is that you have everything automated. In my experience in previous jobs, I was actually creating and managing software quality assurance department at Swedbank. It's a bank in Baltics and Nordic countries. So yeah, we were setting up the teams of test engineers. And what I saw with my own eyes is that manual testing doesn't scale and it's a guaranteed road to insanity. Basically, automated tests is the only sure way to control and guarantee the quality. And it's also much more interesting to automate than to do manually. Yeah. So at the moment, Excelify has like around 2,500 tests. And we run all those tests in 1.5 hours. Whenever we make a change, we can be guaranteed that after 1.5 hours, all the Excelify will be tested through and through. And we will be sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do, basically, which is one of the most important properties of any software, and especially Shopify apps. It has to do what you say it's doing. And thanks so much for all the merchants and agencies who tell us about any defects if they find in Excelify something weird or strange. Thank you for telling and actually for giving us a chance to fix it, because like usually if we know about some defect, the fix is very quick and easy. The hardest thing is to write a test that replicates the same kind of scenario, because you can imagine when like working with files, there are unlimited different scenarios that can happen actually with the data, especially when you are importing something. And yeah, it's quite a natural that some kind of corner case might not be covered. And as soon as we cover it, we know exactly how it should work and we make it work that way.
Sounds like feedback is a gift.
Definitely, yes. And very much appreciated. We are very, very open to communication and feedback with the merchants.
So Maris, as you know, this show, or at least I believe you know, that we have a very diverse range of Shopify entrepreneurs that listen each week. I mean, there's thousands of people download every episode. And, you know, from your vantage point, what advice would you give, you know, brands or store owners? I mean, they could be the marketing people, they could be leadership, they could be the founder? And there's, I mean, I know it's kind of a vague question, but I'm always interested because I think you're in a very unique position with being in business for so long, connected to the Shopify ecosystem. You know what your solution and the problems that it's solving for these direct-to-consumer brands, replatforming, reporting, and all the different things they need. And so from your vantage point, what do you believe a store owner should be working on today if they're very eager to grow and scale?
Yeah, from what I have experienced in my life, I can definitely say that Shopify is an unbelievable ecosystem. It's an environment for all kinds of businesses to flourish. I'm continuously blown away for how humane and friendly the majority of Shopify merchants and agencies and experts and developers and Shopifolk are. And really, I feel it's this friendly and collaborative chemistry that gives this special oxygen for all of us. It's a perfect incubator for special kind of business species that's growing here. And the important aspect I want to share, what I have realized about starting the business, is that when you search for ideas, it might be discouraging that so many businesses already exist, all kinds of shops, and everybody is selling everything, and on the apps and the themes and the services, and they are all doing something already, and it might seem that as if they are already solving all the problems that or have dominated all the niches, but the reality is really far from it, and there are so many problems and issues that need solution, and we need to solve much more than are being currently solved, basically. Yeah. And you don't have to always like aim to solve a problem that you think is being already solved, because we don't need any kind of copycats or somebody who will try to be like you. It's true, actually, what people are saying, that the best that you can be is yourself, and you need to look for your own, what kind of problems you see and what actually you care about, and then look for, do you have actually some kind of drive internally to solve them?
Very unique voice, I would add. I think that's the thing. Everybody has a unique voice, and the size of market is so massive. So,
yeah, even when you start things from scratch, I usually think that about babies when they are born. They don't even know how to talk, and they don't even know how to write an automated test yet, right? And eventually they outgrow their parents and everybody else, and they are the ones who solve those problems that we couldn't solve before them. That fact actually should be proof that you should never be discouraged if at the moment you have nothing, like you are starting from scratch. It's okay. Right. You can just keep going, and you will get there. Don't stop and keep going. Imagine there are 7.7 billion people on Earth. You don't need to make something for all of them. You just need to make some value for a few hundred of them. And then you will actually be already self-sustaining yourself and successful and adding value to at least those people. That's a very good life to live, to help at least a few hundred people.
And that's what I've noticed too, even with this podcast. There's lots of people doing podcasting. It's a growing medium. It's intimate. Most people are listening on their mobile devices with earbuds, and so they get to know the person, the host, and they get to trust them over time. And I could see some people maybe getting discouraged a bit, seeing, others in the same space. For me, I don't at all, because I believe in the same mantra that you're talking about, that everybody has a unique voice, they have a story to tell, and you can't be everything to everybody. You need to focus on your audience, you need to serve them unselfishly, and you need to offer value as best you can. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. And so that's how I've positioned this show for years. This is 120, I think yours is going to be 125, I think is going to be your episode. Yeah.
It's an impressive number to imagine to put all this together. And so, yeah, it's obvious that you are also in a long game.
And I'm just passionate behind wanting to help Shopify entrepreneurs. That's the key. I believe it's talking points too for the brands that I manage. I appreciate the half an hour, 40 minutes that I get with a founder to talk about the problems they're solving with their solutions. And so it's pretty exciting. So let's talk about Excelify before we kind of wrap up. I'm just always interested about maybe the future. We're kind of in the middle of a pandemic right now. I know e-commerce is massively growing. I'm always curious about, partner alignment or innovation. I know you're two or three updates a day and you have a a list of potential issues, and you're trying to, and you can escalate them. And so I get kind of where you're positioning the product, but just was curious about any North Stars moving into the future.
Yeah, so our North Star is and remains that we are looking, like focusing for anything that can give the biggest real value for merchants, right? And avoid any fake values because that's a waste for everybody, right? Yeah, we are going to continue developing Excelify further, and to be exact, with for some nearest top features that we are planning for 2021. These are the like the translations, which is also quite new feature in Shopify Admin. You will be able to import, export, and update all the translations of the items. It's like a very much asked and required feature now. In the future, you will be able to choose the import format, not because at the moment you would need to follow the tutorials and you will need to look on our website how to import from specific format. But like, of course, this can be made better so that you can choose inside the app what are you going to import. Like, for example, I want to migrate from Magento to Shopify, and then it will give you instructions on, right there in the app what to do. And of course, we will add more export filters. This is a very demanded feature to be able to filter your exports by the all kinds of fields and combinations. And then custom formats, you will be able to import more and more and basically map yourself. Like, for example, you have a file from supplier or somewhere, and you will be able to map fields to the Excelify templates. And stuff around security, like password protection and users, those are basically the closest things I see that we might work on this year. And yeah, and actually inside the app, when you scroll down, there is this WhatsApp section where you can see what we are working on and what's been the most recent changes. If you would like to see, like right on the spot, if we release some specific change, you can follow us on a Twitter or on our Slack workspace. And we always publish that second when we deploy a new feature, we tell about it. And then, you know, if you need something, just ask, and we will not forget. And actually, everybody who asks something from us, we tell it personally. When this feature is developed, we tell those people personally that now that thing that you asked is available and you can start using it.
Love it. I love it, because, and it's a thing. It's just like, I think everybody as a community works together to improving the product, and it's just better for everyone. Some people are paying for it to escalate it, to get it done now, cost benefit analysis of wanting to pay for a feature. But then, you know, if it's on your regular roadmap of just enhancements and all of a sudden it's recommended by somebody, I think it's cool. You're giving back, can give their 15 minutes of fame. They made a change to the solution. So Maris, we are nearing the end of the show for today. Do you have any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yes, to summarize, maybe the three most important things I want you to take from all this we have discussed is that first, if you need to do anything with the data on Shopify in bulk, and if you are not afraid of spreadsheets and data files, then definitely Excelify is there for you, and you should definitely consider at least checking out the free demo. The second thing is trust the sincerity and capability of our team to resolve any data-related issue for you. Communicate with us about it, and we will make sure you are having some sort of solution. And yeah, especially if you have any question or issue, or like, don't jump to write a review, right? If you didn't understand something, just contact the support and we will help you. If you found something that you love doing, just keep going.
That's true. That's good feedback. I mean, you know, that's kind of what this show is all about. I mean, we're here to help people grow and scale with Shopify. Some people are just building their stores for the first time, didn't even know that this maybe tool even exists. So, you know, maybe they're on WooCommerce or Magento right now looking to migrate over to Shopify. This could be a great way of doing it, among other things, as their minds open up about the potential capabilities, both short-term and long-term. This is the reason why Excelify is doing so well. So how can people learn about the Excelify app? Is there links? I'll make sure the show notes have a lot of links, but maybe you can just let us know some of the best places to learn about your solution.
like on the internet, everything is cross-linked. So if you go to the Shopify app store and search for Excelify, you will find our app, and which will have also a link to our website. Or you can start with our website, excelify.io, and you will find everything there. And definitely be sure to start with how it works page, because it builds you great foundation on where to start, and basically gives you really the quick superpowers. So we have additional channels, like we have a Slack workspace where you can come in and discuss with our support team, and with basically all chat with all our team and with other merchants about Excelify topics, and we will help, and we are there all the time. We have a YouTube channel where we are publishing new tutorials, where we actually show on the screen how to do certain things, so that you can basically follow on a screen, right, without having to read text. Then we have a Twitter channel where we publish each and every change that I mentioned. Like as soon as we release it, we also publish it on Twitter. We have a Facebook page, which is like for bigger releases or bigger news. There are some case studies on the internet. If you'd like to read, just Google like Excelify case study. There are somebody who writes time after time something.
There's nothing better than having like free publicity based on people using your tool. I love it. I'll make sure the show notes have all of this stuff, link to excelify.io, links to the Shopify app store, to your product and stuff like that. So I just really do massively appreciate you. It's been a little bit longer episode than I typically do, but you know what? I think it's super important to get the message out that it's okay to maybe be a little bit afraid of Excel sheets, but there's some great learnings available about how we can automate some of that process, how we can simplify some of it, how we can help with migrations, how we can help get the data that you do need thanks to your solution. I just love the fact that you and a very small team are just hyper-focused on the Shopify ecosystem and really are here to help. Thank you again, just, you know, for, I guess, taking time to just explain and just the efficiencies that are gained with Excelify. I appreciate you and your vision and just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Awesome. Yeah, and just if I may add, if you yourself don't feel that you are friends with spreadsheets, but you need some data things improved in your store, you can always find Shopify experts who are also experts in Excelify. And there is a large community of Excelify experts around, and agencies and freelancers who specialize even in Excelify work. And you can always find such brilliant people who will enjoy this for you.
I'm going to make sure I put that in the notes also. So once again, Maris, thank you again for coming on the show.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
This episode is supported by Caro, an incredible Shopify app that discovers all the influencers, press, and media that already love your brand. They can be customers, email subscribers, or fans, and Caro will reveal the social footprint and influence of those that have already shown you some love. And from there, Caro makes it easy to work with influencers, communicate, and distribute products to them so you can pick the right influencers and create meaningful partnerships. To get started, you can visit getcaro.com or search for Caro in the Shopify App Store, that's C-A-R-R-O, and discover which influencers already love your brand. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-Commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.